Well, and absolutely, I have, just an example of that. When I use Geranium Rose, that's one of the ones that you suggested that I use for some of the issues that I was having. And so if I rub that on my hands and I put it over my nose, I can just feel all of my lymph nodes in my whole body just tingle all over, and it's like it just feels like my whole body just all of a sudden relaxes, and I feel the tingle all over just from inhaling from my hands this geranium rose, and it just puts me into a more relaxed. If I was a little bit stressed, it just all of a sudden just brings me back down physically and mentally. And then I also have used tea tree oil or melaleuca for burns and bug bites, and they go away almost immediately on me, on my husband. I mean, it just is incredible how fast that works for
Right.
us. And the last one that is kind of different is the lemon oil. I have used that on sore muscles. A friend of mine told me for that, and it makes the muscle just, I mean, the pain go away within an hour, I would say.
Yeah, and you will,
So, yeah, so that's
and
definitely
you'll
true.
find that there's a, it always amazes me when I'm talking with someone and they'll tell me they use a certain oil for something, and I just look at them like, after 30 years, I still don't know that, because I just like, really, you use that for that? Because it wasn't in my reference books. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't something I had personally ever used or seen,
Right.
but yet I'll meet someone who's got all this success with a certain oil, and I'll go, okay, now I'm going to add that to my list, and then,
And actually, it was
yes.
lemongrass. I'm sorry, I misspoke. It was
Right.
lemongrass that I used for the sore muscles,
Right.
not lemon oil.
And rose geranium is excellent for a lot of women for balancing hormones and hot flashes. Although other women will swear by clary sage. So and again, I don't really care for either one, but there was a time when I did use rose geranium. And you'll find over the course of years as you're using oils, your body will change and oils that you may have used to like, you don't like, or you might just go through a period of time. And a lot of that has to do with the science behind your olfactory system. After I had had the car wreck, someone had rammed us in the back. And for about 6 to 8 months, when I was going through the herniated disc and all the different pain and energy, I had a real hard time blending. I was blending by my recipe, not by my nose, because I couldn't really smell, or I didn't like the smell of just about anything. So it really does affect. And then, in a spiritual, biblical point of view, we teach that to not be able to smell puts you in a place of vulnerability, not to be emotionally, spiritually connected. And so, that's not to say it's bad, you're all bad, but it's just, that's the reality. You have a blockage in that energy to some of those things. And this is why we see, one of the cool things about essential oils is they do address the parts of the brain that's dealing with trauma or past experiences. And we, I even used to think I would never use essential oils for emotional my first 10 years. I just thought that was woo-woo. And then the more I studied the science behind it and the history and the biblical context, I'm like, oh yes, absolutely. And my first experience was that when I started changing was I was going through a really difficult time grieving over a child, and I was looking for something to help. So I found bergamot, which is actually what's used to make Earl Grey tea. That was okay. I don't like lavender, so that's not going to work. And I went to sandalwood, and that is where I fell in love with sandalwood. It just helped so much and so tremendously. And now that I've done the study on sandalwood and the teaching, I have a teaching on the website called The Heart of Worship, the Aroma of Worship, The Heart of Sandalwood. When we look at that, sandalwood throughout scripture is associated with worship. And when you're in the mode of worship, it elevates you to a different place and takes you out of that, that depression and that hard place that you're at. Sandalwood's also really good at helping you with your melatonin and relaxation. It's good for so many things, but I started learning. I had these experiences where I was sharing oils with some women, and there was out of the blue, out of nowhere, there was this great emotional release from this person in the room, and there was healing and reconciliation. And I remember my friend looking at me and saying, well, you said it could help with emotions. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I didn't really believe it at the time, you know? So, and again, it goes back to we see it's all throughout scripture and worship. Yahweh loves them. He loves the plants. He loves the smells. He loves them in the garden. When the Mashiach returns, he's not judging us by eyesight. He's not judging us by ear. He's judging us by our aroma. And we will know him by his aroma. And that aroma of the Keteret and of the Mashiach is related to the aroma of the Garden of Eden. And if we're working our way back towards the garden and the ancient past in a relationship with Elohim, we are going to be a not just, you know, mentally, spiritually, a beautiful smell or into his nostrils, but we are actually literally going to be a beautiful smell. And we have science today because of computers and digitized technology that we know that men and women are attracted to each other by the pheromones. We've got experimentations and science research now on children and babies. Actually, where we really get our bonding is by the smelling of our child when they're first born. And siblings will get along better and bond more to their brothers and sisters when they sit and hold them in the beginning, because they're building up. They don't even really realize that they're building up that pheromone relationship between the smell and the aroma of each other.
That's really interesting. You know, I've never thought about it that way before, but that is probably a study that could really take you some places. That's very interesting, and I'm sure you've got some more information about that type of study on your website,
well,
correct?
No, I've never put that up there. But sometimes I will share stuff like that in a newsletter. You know, occasionally, or on Facebook, you know. But yeah, there's so much stuff like that. The study that I, there was a research study that I referred to in the Aroma Prayer Spa about the rose. You know, we today, most of us don't ever really see a real rose that smells really good. And the reason is because they've been cultivated and bred so that they will last longer once you cut them. But that's because they've taken out, I think it's called geraniol, bred them for that, you know, and this is the reason is because they cut them and send them long distance, right? And that's the way we're trained to think, is it's about the looks of the rose, but it's actually the smell of the rose, of a real rose. It has got these properties in it that will actually keep bugs away. Now, of course, no one's going to use rose oil to keep bugs away because it's too expensive. But the reality is, from a spiritual point of view, it keeps bugs away or demons away or, you know, the bad things, the fungus, you know, the different things in the world that aren't things that we really desire. It keeps them away by its aroma. But it also causes the rose to start to wilt faster, because the rose is only there for a certain season where its aroma is at its peak. And we have learned not to appreciate things in their time for their time, but to make everything last and use it the length of whatever, but not really get the full quality of what it was created to do. And there's a lot more into that story, but that's just an example. You know, and of course, I relate it to other things in the world that are artificial that people are doing to themselves all the time. So we miss the high quality of what Father creates in his people and his plants, while we're focusing on the outward look and appearance instead of the whole picture with the beautiful imperfections that they come with.
That is really a profound thought, and that is so true about, like you were talking earlier, even our food. I mean, you can go to the grocery store and pick up a beautifully looking plastic looking tomato, and they're all perfectly the same shape and same size, but it's been changed inside so that it's not as good to taste or as good for you. And so that's a really good point. Before we do end today, I do really want to cover what would you suggest to people that are looking for a good quality oil? How would you tell them to judge oils when they're seeking to purchase a good quality oil?
Well, first of all, Long term, the more you do it, the more you'll realize, and your nose will begin to tell you. And I encourage people to smell their oils blindly. Smell them, not even knowing what they are, because there's something about that. And that's actually how I learned about good, better quality oils, was blind smelling. That's something you're going to have to develop over time. And that's how trained aromatherapists, they may get a lab report that says it's great, but when you go to smell it, you know something's wrong. Well, let's just go through a couple of things. Number one, how is it bottled? Okay, it should be in a glass bottle. Preferably, I come from the school of thought that it should be a cobalt blue bottle, an amber brown bottle at the second best. I really would not give much credence to a clear bottler. Because the number one things that break down your essential oils is light and UV rays. And you don't want them oxidized, so you always got to keep your lid tight, and you don't want to overheat them. So those are the three things. So if I have a clear bottle, that's one of my first problems. The other thing, like I walk into natural grocers or something and I see these oils, salt, you know, like salts with oils supposedly. Well, they're bottled in plastic. You can't, there's no way that it could be a true essential oil if it's in plastic, because if it is, the oil would eat the plastic. Okay, so you want to look at your bottle. Now, if you want to get on a higher level, which is not practical for most of us, some of us artists and aromatherapists can do that. You will see bottles now, sometimes green, sometimes other colors, but I only know a few people who practice that. I would like to practice it, but it's a practicality of the cost of the bottles. But the real bottom line is, if you really go another level above the blue bottle, because it helps protect the ultraviolet rays and the energy of the oil, is you would get into the science of knowing what color the plant oil is and matching that plant color of the oil to the color of the bottle. So for instance, like myrrh, you know, it's a brown red color, so it'd be a brown bottle. Lime would be in a green bottle. But that's a science and a level. But I think you're going to see more of that coming out in the future. So number one, it's got to be glass. I see aluminum bottles with essential oils in them. I'm concerned about that. Again, we don't want plastic leaching into them. We don't want the aluminum leaching into it. But, you know, it makes it less expensive, so you're going to see that. So that's number one. Look at the bottling. Number two, if you're going to buy something from someone, if it's not on the bottle, which hopefully it is, but sometimes there's no room, you know, look on their website or whatever, their brochure, whatever it is. Look at the ingredients. Look for the botanical name. They should have the botanical name on there, because that's where a lot of deception comes in, a lot of adulteration comes in. And look at the country. The country isn't always important, but it can be very important for certain oils. For instance, true blue tansy, the only quality of anything that's true to that is from Morocco. So there's certain oils like that. And or if it's not as important, maybe you just find that you prefer oregano from Spain or Italy or Turkey. But that may also tell you what the carvacrol level is that's so powerful in it. So that's something else you're looking for. So look for the botanical name. There's a lot of mistakes with the oil, for instance, called Ravensara versus Raventsara. That's labeled so many times. But if you look at the botanical name, you'll see that it's actually two different plants, and they may have them confused. I see the same problem with the German and Roman chamomile. So look at the bottle, look at the botanical name, look at the country. If they have those three things in order, then I'm kind of like, okay, these people kind of know what they're doing. You know, they're paying attention to this. So those are things that I would find very important. Hydrosols are a little bit different. We're introducing hydrosols. We have them. We don't have the information up, but we're selling it like hotcakes even without. Hydrosols are a little bit different. We do put them in glass, but they are okay. They haven't found any testing that has really been bad with the plastic, as long as it's a good quality plastic. But so you might find that. But again, I would always prefer glass. And that's probably the biggest things is how it's bottled. Did they put the botanical name? Did they put the country? And then, look at the price. I mean, of course, when we're talking MLM, their wholesale is actual retail pricing because they have to add the extra price to cover the MLM. But once you get to that, what they call their wholesale pricing, and then you're comparing against other companies, when you see an oil that's really inexpensive, you better question what it's really made out of. That is probably the number one thing. I can do that going across wholesalers. I can do that going across retailers right away. I can start looking and going, wow, what are they doing? What are they, what's going on here? So price, best price is not always a guarantee. I mean, it's almost a sign that I'd be running away. And as I mentioned, I don't know if it's before or after we started, but frankincense is one of the number one adulterated oils by putting lemon or tea tree in it. So those are things to look at, and then make sure keep your oils, out of this direct sunlight. Keep the lids tight, and don't let them get overheated. And that's probably the biggest things. Now, the world out there will say you definitely have to have a GCMS lab report. And they really push that big on the big multi-million dollar companies. Yes, they are important, and we do use them. And when I source my oils, I make sure that those are done. But we're working as artisans. We're working in very small batches, and we depend on the integrity of our distillers and our wholesalers. We don't, have it listed on the website. That would take more time and energy than I could even begin to imagine. Changing every label. We're not getting them in huge batches. And, I know if I get one oil, sometimes my distiller might change the origin of a country. That means I have to change every label, every website, every price list. And I've also seen these GCMS reports adulterated over and over again. So I don't go just by that. I go by the smell of the oil, the look of the oil. Certain oils can tell me. There's also blotch tests and different things that a trained aromatherapist knows to do. And so if we get something and we start to question it because it doesn't smell right, it doesn't test out, the manual ways that we would test it, we go back to the GCMS report is what they're called, which is gas chromatography and mass spectrum. And what it does is it separates all the individual constituents out, shows the concentration level of them, and then it's compared to this database of what is normal for that particular essential oil. But it cannot always be correct. It cannot be the only thing used, because things can, what it doesn't do, it doesn't completely guarantee that there are no synthetics in it, because you can use synthetics and get the same outcome, or use another oil, say for instance limonene, because limonene is also in frankincense. So I could sell you frankincense if I'm a good enough chemist mixed with tea tree or lemon, but those are lot less expensive oils. And if I get it mixed right, I can sell it to you with some frankincense and charge you just as much. And for me, as someone who sources my oils from distillers and wholesalers, that is a problem. Frankincense is probably the most adulterated oil I have had to weed through. And again, that test isn't going to always show that. And I still think the best oil I've ever smelled is the ones that are out of the different countries sent to Israel and distilled. And I trust them wholeheartedly. I've never gotten anything. I mean, just smelling the difference between the oils that is distilled in Israel is incredible. So, yeah, use your nose, pray. But those are probably the very basics.
So that is the difference then between you and a larger company. When I called you, I told you what I wanted to treat, what kind of I guess, issues I was having, and you personally suggested some different things for me, and then you even bottled it and mailed it to me yourself. And so you're very involved, and you know where all of your oils are coming from, and you basically make sure that you have good, reliable sources. Is that
Correct.
correct?
However, I wouldn't tell you what you could treat it with.
I'm sorry.
No,
Okay,
that, no, and that's okay. Leave it there.
I
No,
used the
but
wrong word.
honestly, and I would leave that in the program. Honestly, the what I'm sharing with you is what the traditional use is, what the researched, recorded information, historical use is. But we would never say it's treating, properly, because we're not licensed physicians. But yes, it's an art, and it is very different. And you may not get me when you want me, and it may take a week to 2 weeks to get me, but I will respond, usually within a day or two. But yes, that is part of the difference. It's kind of like going to, your chiropractor or something. When you start going to a trained, certified aromatherapist who has experience and is still always learning, of course, you're getting one-on-one. And if what you're going to see, and it's starting to pop up here in on the West Coast, is we will have more and more storefronts or offices opened where you actually go and consult with your aromatherapist, because there's a lot more to it than what has been told, and there's a lot of quality use to that, and we can go through and custom blend for you. A lot of times our custom blends end up, but yes, we just tell you, basically, here's all the research and information we have. This is what we can suggest based on historical, traditional use. And there's more and more research coming out all the time. But I don't think if we lived another 1,000 years, we will never know all the things that these things can do. And we need to remember as believers that when they called the elders with the oil, they were also praying. And we know there's energy and power in praying. We know there's energy and power in the oils. So when we put them together, it's even better.
Our Abba's creation is just fantastic, and we will never understand the complete extent of how everything interacts and works with each other throughout his creation. And so the essential oils are just one aspect of what he has created to help us, for us to live and for us to prosper and for us to be well. And it's very wise to go natural as opposed to the chemical solutions that doctors and science are coming up with these
Well,
days.
yeah, a man thinks he's really smart and he just keeps digging himself a hole. I prefer not to be in that hole if I can avoid it.
Absolutely. So, well, I really appreciate your time, and please tell everyone again where they can reach you, maybe give them your email address and your
Thank
website
you.
again.
The website is remnantremedy.com, because there's a remedy for the remnant. And my email is Nitza, Nitza, N as in Nancy, Nitza@remnantremedy.net. I'm also on Facebook under Nitza Moshe. And you can call. Our number is 208-877-1037. That's 877-1037, area code 208. Just make sure you leave a message and tell us why you're calling, because and I don't know if you all know this, I'm sure Mark does, but being messianic, loving Israel, being associated in any of those categories, we get bombarded and attacked constantly on our website and our phones and our emails. So, if you leave me a message to tell me who and what you are and what you want, that'll be great. I'd return your call, and then I can weed it out of all the other ones I get. So, and I will call and return as soon as possible, and or email me. I do travel and teach, and I'm a one-man show with some really good helpers on the side. So I just appreciate, I do the best I can to respond as quickly as I can. And I just really appreciate the time and the ability to be here and to serve. And Remnant Remedy is, our mission is to be a ministry first, but it does help support our family. It helps support Israel. And it helps support other believers of like mind so that they can live a Torah lifestyle. So we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and we really appreciate it. And I am going to be calling you soon for some other recommendations. So
Thank
thank
you.
you
Blessings
again.
to you. Shalom.
Shalom.